The Adventure of the Dancing Men. Holmes was busy at his desk one morning. He worked for hours, but then he suddenly stopped and said, "Watson, you're not going to put any money into that South African business." "How do you know that?" I asked, putting down the newspaper. Holmes turned and looked at me. "It's not difficult, Watson. Last night, you came home at 11 o'clock. That's late for you, and you only come home late on a Tuesday if you're playing cards. You only play cards with Thurston. 4 weeks ago, you told me something about him. He needed some money for a business in South Africa, and he needed it in 4 weeks. That's today. Your bank book is locked in the cupboard, and you haven't asked for the key. So I know that you're not going to put any money into Thurston's business." "You're right, Holmes," I said. "That wasn't difficult."
"It's not difficult now, Watson, because I explained it to you. Every problem is easy if you can explain it. But here's one that I can't explain."
He passed a piece of paper to me and turned back to his desk. I looked at the paper. "It's a child's drawing, Holmes," I said.
"That's what you think?"
"Yes," I replied. "What do you think?"
"I don't know," said Holmes.
"But Mr. Hilton Cubitt from Ridingthorpe Manor in Norfolk wants me to explain it. He sent it to me in a letter, and he's coming here this morning. Listen, there's someone coming to the door now." We heard the door close and feet on the stairs, and then a tall man came into the room. He shook hands with us and then saw the drawing on the table.
"Can you explain this, Mr. Holmes?" Mr. Cubitt asked.
"It looks like a child's drawing. It's just a number of dancing men. Why is it important?"
"I don't know," said Mr. Cubitt. "But my wife is very frightened by it. She doesn't say anything, but I can see it in her eyes. I need to understand what the drawing is."
Holmes held up the paper. The dancing men were like this: a picture of 15 dancing men in a line. Some are holding flags. Holmes looked at the drawing for a minute or two and then put it down.
"This is a strange and interesting case, Mr. Cubitt," he said. "Can you give us some more information?"
"My family isn't rich, but we have lived at Ridingthorpe for 500 years," Mr. Cubitt explained. "Last year, I met a young American woman, Elsie Patrick, and we fell in love. Before the wedding, Elsie told me something. Before I came to England, she said, I knew some very unpleasant people. I want to forget them, and I don't want to talk about the past. I've never done anything bad, Hilton, but you must promise not to ask questions about my past." "I agreed to ask no questions. We married, and we've lived happily in Norfolk for a year. About a month ago, the trouble started. One day, my wife received a letter from America. She opened it, read it, and threw it on the fire. She said nothing, and I didn't ask anything. But she was worried then, and now she's frightened. About a week ago,
I found a drawing in the garden on the wall under a window. The drawing was of some dancing men. I washed them off, but when I told my wife, she was worried. "If you see any more drawings," she said, "you must tell me." Yesterday morning, I found the paper with the drawing that I sent you. It was in the garden in the morning. I showed it to my wife, and she was very frightened. Then I sent the paper to you. I can't take it to the police. They'll just laugh at me.
I think, said Holmes, that the best plan is to ask your wife what it is.
Mr. Cubitt shook his head.
I made a promise, Mr. Holmes. I cannot ask her.
Then I'll help you. First, have you heard of any new visitors in your area?
No, but sometimes people come on holiday. There are one or two small hotels, and some of the farmers have rooms for visitors.
I don't know what these drawings mean, said Holmes, but they mean something. To find the answer, we need more of them. Can you go back to Norfolk and send me a copy of any new dancing men that you find? And ask your neighbours about new visitors to the area. If anything new happens, I'll come to Norfolk and see you.
For the next 2 weeks, Holmes sometimes looked at the drawing, but he said nothing. But then, at lunch one day, he said,
"Will you be here this afternoon, Watson? Mr. Cubitt is coming to see us with some new information."
When he arrived, Mr. Cubitt looked tired and more worried than before.
"It's been a very difficult 2 weeks," he told us. "My wife is ill with worry."
"Has she talked to you about her problems?"
"No. Sometimes I think that she wants to, but something is stopping her."
"Have you found anything new?" asked Holmes.
"Yes. I have some more dancing men drawings for you,"
Mr. Cubitt replied.
"And I have seen the man who draws them. The morning after I came to see you, I found another drawing on a wall in the garden. Here's a copy."
He showed us this paper. A picture of 9 dancing men. One has a flag and 2 are standing on their heads.
"Good," said Holmes.
"I made the copy and then cleaned the wall. But 2 mornings later, there was this drawing.
A picture of 9 dancing men. One is holding a flag." Holmes smiled.
"It's a big help to have more drawings."
3 days later, I found another drawing in the garden, this time on paper. The drawing was the same as that last one. So I decided to stay awake and watch one night. I wanted to see who was bringing these messages. You can see the garden well from my office, so I sat at the window in the dark with my gun next to me. At 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife came in. She came up to the window, and at the same time, I saw a man in the garden. I stood up and took my gun. My wife put her arms around me. She wanted to stop me, but I ran out into the garden. The man was gone, but I found the same drawing again on the back door. My wife and I went to bed, but the next morning there was another drawing on the door.
"Do you have a copy of it?" asked Holmes.
"Yes," Mr. Cubitt replied. "Here it is. A picture of 5 dancing men."
Was this added to the earlier message? Asked Holmes.
No, it was on a different part of the door.
Do you have any more information?
No, but I need your help, Mr. Holmes, said Cubitt. I don't know what to do now.
When are you going back to Norfolk? Asked Holmes.
I must go back today. I'm worried about my wife.
I can't come with you today, said Holmes. But leave the drawings with me, and I'll come to Norfolk when I can. Mr. Cubitt left, and Holmes sat at his desk with all the drawings in front of him. He worked hard for 2 hours, writing numbers and letters. Then he sat back in his chair and said, I need to send a telegram to New York. When I get the answer, I'll know a lot more, and we can go to Norfolk. 2 days later, another letter came from Mr. Cubitt with this drawing. A picture of 21 dancing men. Some have flags, some are standing on their heads. Holmes worked on the new drawing for some minutes. He began to look very worried.
We must go to Norfolk at once, he said suddenly.
But it was too late for a train that evening. Then a telegram from New York arrived and Holmes read it. This is not a surprise, he said, but it's more important that we get to Norfolk quickly. We'll have an early breakfast and take the first train in the morning. Things are very dangerous now. We took the early train to Norfolk. We got out at a small station and spoke to a man at the ticket office there.
Can you tell us the way to Ridingthorpe Manor? Asked Holmes.
Oh, yes, he said. Are you with the police? Another policeman, a detective, came here earlier. It's terrible.
What's happened? I asked.
Mr. Cubitt and his wife are in trouble. She shot him, and then she shot herself. That's what the servants said. He's dead, and she's dying.
It was 7 miles to Ridingthorpe Manor, and Holmes didn't speak once. We were too late, he knew that, and he was very unhappy. After half an hour, our driver pointed to an old house in some trees.
That's Ridingthorpe Manor, he said.
A man was standing at the door of the house.
My name's Martin, he said. I'm a detective from the Norfolk Police.
I'm Sherlock Holmes, and this is Dr. Watson.
Mr. Holmes, you've come very quickly. The crime was at 3 o'clock this morning.
I thought that a crime was possible, said Holmes. I came because I wanted to stop it, but we're too late.
But maybe you know some important clues, said Detective Martin. I don't understand anything. I thought that Mr. and Mrs. Cubitt were happily in love, but this shows something different.
I have the clues of the dancing men, said Holmes. I can explain them later, but maybe I can help you now. We need to understand what happened here.
Mr. Holmes, I'll be happy to work with you. It's very kind of you to help.
Then an old man with white hair came out of the house.
How is Mrs. Cubitt, doctor? Asked the policeman.
It's bad, said the doctor. But I think that she'll live. She can't speak at the moment.
Did someone shoot her, or did she shoot herself? Asked Holmes.
I don't know, replied the doctor. There were 2 shots. One shot killed Mr. Cubitt, and the other hit Mrs. Cubitt. It's possible that he shot her and then shot himself, or she shot him first and then shot herself.
Did you move anything in the room? Asked Holmes.
We moved Mrs. Cubitt to her bedroom. We couldn't leave her in the room, but we touched nothing.
Good. When did you get here? Asked Holmes.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
Who called you?
A servant, Miss Saunders, and the cook, Mrs. King.
Where are they now? My friend asked.
In the kitchen, I think, said the doctor.
Let's go and talk to them, said Holmes. We sat in the big kitchen of Ridingthorpe Manor. Holmes and I were there, the doctor and Martin from the Norfolk police. Miss Saunders and Mrs. King told us their story. Did you hear the shots? Asked Holmes when they finished.
Yes, said Mrs. King. There was a very loud noise. It woke me up, and I woke Miss Saunders. She sleeps in the next room. Then we heard a second noise, a second shot, and we came down the stairs. The office door was open, and there was a lamp on the table. Mr. Cubitt was in the middle of the room. He was dead.
Was Mrs. Cubitt there? Asked Holmes.
Yes. She was on the floor, against the wall near the window. There was a lot of blood on her head, and she couldn't speak. There was smoke in the office and in the corridor. We smelled the smoke at the top of the stairs before we came down.
Was the window open? Asked Holmes.
No, it was closed and locked. We sent a boy to get the doctor and the police immediately. Then we carried Mrs. Cubitt up to her room.
What were Mr. and Mrs. Cubitt wearing? Asked Holmes.
They were in their night clothes, Mrs. King answered.
Did you hear an argument between Mr. and Mrs. Cubitt in the night?
No, said Mrs. King. We didn't. They never argued. They were very happy together.
Were all the doors to the outside locked? Asked Martin.
Yes.
Let's go and look at the office now, said Holmes. But first, Detective Martin, I want you to remember one thing. They smelled the smoke at the top of the stairs and in the corridor. The office was a small room with bookcases on three sides and a window onto the garden. Mr. Cubitt's body was on the floor. He was shot from the front, I see, said Holmes. How many shots hit him, Doctor?
One. But it hit his heart.
And one shot hit Mrs. Cubitt, said Holmes. How many shots came from this gun, Detective Martin? Martin picked up the gun.
There are 6 shots in a gun like this, he said. Now there are 4 left.
I understand. But another shot came through the window. Holmes turned and pointed to a mark on the wood at the bottom of the window. It touched the wood here when it came through.
How did you find that mark?
Asked Martin in surprise.
I knew it was there and I looked for it, said Holmes.
You're right, said the doctor. There were 3 shots. But what was the 3rd shot? It wasn't Mr. or Mrs. Cubitt, and it didn't come from that gun. Who was the 3rd person, and how did he get away?
Do you remember the smoke, Detective Martin? Asked Holmes. It filled the house.
Yes,
that means that the window was open, continued Holmes. The wind pushed the smoke through the open door of the office and into the house. But then somebody closed the window. The first shot came through the open window and made a mark on the wood at the bottom.
But who closed the window? Asked Martin.
Mrs. Cubitt, I think, after the first shot. But what's this? There was a woman's bag on the table. Holmes opened it and found £1,000 in it.
That's interesting, said Holmes. We'll come back to the topic of the money later.
You heard two shots, Mrs. King. But was the first shot louder than the second?
It's possible. It woke me up, and it was very loud.
It was two shots at the same time, said Holmes. One of the shots was from outside. Let's go and look in the garden. We went out into the garden. The plants outside the window were broken, and we could see the marks of a large man's feet on the ground.
Do you see? Said Holmes.
A large man stood here and shot his gun into the room.
Who was it? Asked Martin.
First, said Holmes, I need to know something. Is there a house called Elridge's near here? Mrs. King and Miss Saunders didn't know, so we talked to another servant, a boy.
I know Elridge's, he said. It's about 8 miles from here.
Can you get a horse, my boy? Asked Holmes. I want you to take a message to Elridge's for me.
Holmes sat at a table. He had the drawings of the dancing men in front of him. He worked for a minute, gave a message to the boy, and wrote the address, Mr. Abe Slaney, Elridge's Farm, East Ruston, Norfolk.
Give this to Mr. Slaney, said Holmes. If he asks you any questions, don't answer him.
The boy left on the horse. The doctor went home, and Holmes, Martin, and I went to the sitting room.
We have an hour or two, said Holmes. I can explain to you about the dancing men now, Detective Martin. Mr. Cubitt sent me some drawings, which came to his house in the past weeks. I was able to study these, and I discovered that they were actually messages. The first message had 15 men on it. Some of the men had flags in their hands. It's possible that a flag shows the end of a word. I knew that the letter E is used more than any other letter in English. There were four dancers like this. A picture of a dancing man. So this was the letter E. But things got more difficult after that. I needed more messages. Mr. Cubitt then gave me three more messages. One of them was only five dancers and there were no flags. So, it's one word. And the second and fourth letters are E. There aren't a lot of words like this in English, and I was sure the word is never. So now I had N, V, and R. A picture of three dancing men. Then I thought about the name Elsie. There are two E's in that, so I looked for a word with five letters and an E at the beginning and end. I found it, and now I had L, S, and I. The word before Elsie had an E at the end. What was it? I think it was C-O-M-E. The message said, Come, Elsie. I went back to the first message. I knew some more of the letters now. It was like this. Something M,
something ERE, something something E, SL something NE something. The first letter is A. There is only one two-letter word in English with M at the end. There are two more A's in the message, and we can guess that the second word has an H at the beginning. Am here, A something E, slain something. Then I added a B. Am here, Abe Slaney. This means I am here, Abe Slaney. Now I studied the second message. With the letters I knew, it was A something, E L R I something E S. I guessed it was at Elridge's. What did you do next, Mr. Holmes? Asked Martin. The name Abe is usually American, and at the beginning of the mystery, Mrs. Cubitt received a letter from America. I sent a telegram to a friend in the New York police. I wanted to know if he knew anybody called Abe Slaney. His reply was, Abe Slaney is one of the most dangerous men in Chicago. Later that day, Hilton Cubitt sent me the last of his messages. Using the letters I knew, this was Elsie, something R-E, something A-R-E, to meet G-O something. I added two P's and a D to get the message, prepare to meet God. It means, be ready to die. I understood then that Dr. Watson and I needed to come to Norfolk quickly, but we were too late. Thank you very much for your help, Mr. Holmes, said Martin. But now I need to find Mr. Slaney. He's at Elridge's, you say, and I need to get there. You don't need to, said Holmes. He's coming here. Why is he coming here? I wrote and asked him to come here, said Holmes. But why isn't he running away? Asked Martin. Because I know how to write a letter. And look, he's walking up the path to the door. Are you ready to catch him, Detective Martin? Asked Holmes. Yes, said Martin, and he took out some handcuffs. Then let's get ready behind the front door. We waited behind the door for 1 minute. Holmes had a gun in his hand. Then someone knocked. The door opened and a large man with a big black beard stepped in. Holmes held the gun to the man's head and Martin put the handcuffs on him. The man looked down at the handcuffs and laughed angrily.
Well done, he said. You've got me, but I don't understand. I came here because I got a message from Mrs. Cubitt. Did she help you?
A shot hit Mrs. Cubitt in the head, and she's very ill in bed.
What? Cried the man. But I didn't shoot Elsie. I love her.
She was on the floor of the office next to her dead husband, said Holmes. The man sat down and put his head in his hands. After 5 minutes, he spoke.
All right, he said. I'll tell you what happened. I shot the man because he tried to shoot me, but I didn't shoot Elsie. I wanted her to leave her husband and come back to me. But if she's ill, how did she write me this message?
He dropped the message onto the table.
I wrote it, said Holmes. How did you write it? Only people in the Chicago group can write these secret messages.
It took me a few days to understand your messages. Then it was easy to write one to you, said Holmes. Two more policemen are coming to take you to Norwich in a few minutes. They think that Mrs. Cubitt killed her husband. Do you want her to go to prison, or can you help her with your story?
I don't want Elsie to be in trouble with the police, said Abe Slaney. I've known her for years. There were seven of us in the Chicago group, and Elsie's father was the head. He started the secret messages, and they helped a lot in our work because the police couldn't read them. Elsie and I were engaged, but she didn't like the crime business. She wanted me to stop, but I didn't want to. I couldn't. Then she ran away from Chicago, came to England, and married Cubitt. I wrote letters to her, but she didn't answer them. So I followed her to England. I've been here for a month at Elridge's. I sent her messages, and she read them. I know that she read them because once she wrote an answer, but she didn't come to see me, and I got angrier, and my messages got angrier too. Then, yesterday, she wrote me a letter. She agreed to meet me here at 3 o'clock in the morning. She was ready to speak to me through the window while her husband was sleeping. But she wanted me to leave England after that and never come back. I came here, and she was at the window with money in her bag. She wanted to pay me to go away, and I got angry. I took her arm and tried to pull her through the window. Then her husband came in with his gun, and she dropped to the floor. He tried to shoot me but missed, and I shot him. He fell down, and I ran away across the garden. Then I heard the window close behind me.
Two policemen arrived at the door.
It's time to go, said Martin to Abe Slaney.
Can I see her before I go?
No, said Martin. She's too ill. She can't talk to anyone. Mr. Holmes, thank you very much for your help. I hope that I'll meet you again if I have another difficult case.
We watched Martin and his prisoner drive away with the two policemen. Holmes picked up the message from the table and gave it to me.
This is my message. Can you read it, Watson?
He asked with a smile. I looked at it. A picture of 14 dancing men.
It says, "Come here at once," Holmes told me. I wanted him to come here quickly. Abe Slaney thought that it was from Elsie, so he came immediately. The dancing men really helped us with the mystery.
There's a train to London at 3:40, Watson, and we can be back in Baker Street for dinner.
Because the first shot was from Mr. Cubitt's gun, Abe Slaney did not die for his crime, but he went to prison for a long time. The widow, Mrs. Cubitt, is now well and living in Norfolk in her husband's old house. Penguin Readers, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Level 4, retold by Nick Bullard, illustrated by Sidney Paget, additional illustrations by Guy Harvey, series editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Nigel Pilkington, copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2025.